You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and I'll soon be joined by my co-host, Skylar Butenshin. It's Monday, July 28th.
Federal tax credits for residential clean energy installations are expiring at the end of this year. That's a result of President Trump's big tax and spending bill, and it has many solar companies in Washington scrambling to keep up for now. More from KNKX environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe.
According to the Solar Energy Industries Association, SEIA, the solar tax credit has helped the industry expand by more than 200% over the past two decades in the U.S. The Biden administration had extended it till 2034. John Lang, president of the Washington chapter of SEIA, says local solar companies are already feeling the sting of uncertainty as this program ends.
Having a long runway for that 30% federal tax credit really solidified and stabilized our industry in that it was easy for us to plan our businesses knowing that that was going to be there.
Lang says most of the local solar companies he represents are already booked out till the end of the year. Then the future is less clear. But he says there's still a compelling case to make for solar, even without the tax credits, especially with improved battery technology that can provide homeowners with reliable energy even during power outages.
I always say it's kind of like growing your own food. You know, that special feeling you get when you pull a tomato out and use it? It's just you're watching the sun make it and you're charging your car with solar energy. It feels really good.
The Trump administration says solar power is unreliable. They are prioritizing fossil fuels. Meanwhile, Lang says his organization has been working with utilities to pass a law that would enable more homes with solar power and battery storage to get paid to feed energy back into the grid during outages. For now, solar energy systems will just cost more starting next year. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe reporting.
Some Oregon birdwatchers say this spring was unusually quiet. OPB's April Ehrlich reports that there's data to back that up.
Every spring, Oregon birders break out their binoculars to catch glimpses of colorful migrating birds. But this year, something was off. The trees and skies were unusually empty. Brody Cass-Talbot is an engagement manager with the nonprofit Bird Alliance of Oregon.
They just weren't there. When in the past, on a birdsong walk on Mount Tabor, you might come across five or six Nashville warblers, this year there were zero.
So we turned to national data managed by academic researchers. It suggests Oregon had a 47% decline in migrating birds this spring. The culprit might be severe winter drought in southwestern states, where Oregon's migrating birds spend their winters. Cass-Talbot suggests Oregonians do what they can to help struggling bird species, like limiting bright lights at night and keeping cats indoors. I'm April Ehrlich, reporting.
When we think of arcade games like pinball, there's a stereotype of a young man at the controls, but a local chapter of an international pinball league is flipping the narrative by creating a safe space for women and gender minorities. KLCC's Sajina Shrestha met with some pinball wizards in Eugene.
I'm at a Eugene bar called the Flying Squirrel, and I'm trying to learn how to play pinball. The machine I'm on has a lot of lights, buttons, and numbers. It's a lot to keep track of. Fortunately, Megan Landers is here too. She's a member of Bells and Chimes Eugene, a pinball league made of women and gender minorities.
Holding it.
So see how that arrow all the way to the right is lit red?
Uh-huh.
So that's the right orbit, and you try to...
Oh, try to get it in.
Yeah, it timed out.
Oh,
but see?
But I went in!
During this evening's tournament, Bells and Chimes members are trying out a new machine. Players gather around it, giving tips on how to score points. Sunny Williams, the tournament director for the chapter, says although the league meets to compete, people are cordial and welcoming.
Bells and Chimes, we are playing in tournaments, but we're playing together more. If you win, I'm going to be happy for you. I'm going to applaud.
Williams notes that this was an important thing to establish in the league. She says in a competitive scene like pinball, some biases can pop up.
Sometimes you almost get the feeling of like, oh, she's a girl, so this is gonna be easy. But that's not true, because there's no gender in pinball, right? You have no advantage being male or female against another player. But sometimes those emotions come out from people, and it doesn't feel good to have somebody kind of talk down to you or to make you feel like maybe you're not as good as you could be.
Bells and Chimes is an international network of women and gender minority pinball leagues. The league started in 2013 as a safe space for women to play pinball together. Now there are more than 100 chapters around the world, including the one in Eugene. According to Williams, leagues like Bells and Chimes provide an inclusive space.
It's a very male-dominated game, and so getting women and gender minorities together to play together, to learn, to grow, and to feel more secure in their ability to play, I think really helps to either give you that space and that motivation to get better and play more, or to even then join those open tournaments and feel like you belong.
Back at the bar, Landers is coaching me through the end of my game as other members play their turns on other machines.
So you have some red arrows lit on the right over there.
Oh, no! Okay, 75,000. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I had fun.
Bells and Chimes meets twice a month in different bars around the city. I'm Sajina Shrestha reporting.
At a meeting this month, the Rockaway Beach City Council voted to accept a grant from the Oregon Watershed Board for the purchase of the lower half of the Jetty Creek watershed. The city already owns the upper half of the watershed. The $1.4 million grant will contribute to staff costs, contractors, and the purchase of 550 acres of the lower watershed that are currently owned by Nuveen Capital. Rockaway Beach City Manager Luke Shepard said that the city was also nearly approved for a different state grant that should provide the remainder of the needed funds for the purchase of the lower Jetty Creek watershed. The purchase is on track to be completed by October 2026. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com.
A rise in levels of the paralytic shellfish marine biotoxin means mussel harvesting is now closed on Oregon's south coast from Cape Blanco to the California border. Razor clam harvesting in this area is also closed because of high levels of the marine biotoxin domoic acid. However, recent mussel samples indicate that paralytic shellfish toxin levels are low elsewhere in Oregon. Mussel harvesting is now open from the Washington state border down to Cape Blanco. Razor clam harvesting remains closed from the Washington state border to Tillamook Head in Seaside for an annual conservation closure. Recreational bay clam and crab harvesting is open along the entire Oregon coast. It is, however, illegal to take any animals or seaweed in the state's protected marine reserves and marine garden areas like Haystack Rock in Cannon Beach or the Cape Falcon Marine Reserve near Manzanita. The Oregon Department of Agriculture will continue to test for shellfish toxins weekly as tides and weather permit. For weather today in the Lower Columbia River region, patchy fog this morning, otherwise sunny with highs near 70. Mostly clear tonight with lows in the low 50s. Tomorrow, more patchy fog in the morning, otherwise mostly sunny, with highs near 70. Increasing clouds tomorrow night, with lows in the low 50s. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday, and you'll always find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.